أَرَأَيْتَ have you seen مَنْ هُ اتَّخَذَ he took إِلَاهَهُ his God هَوَاهُ his desire أَفَأَنْتَ a will fa then anta you takunu you will be alayhi on him wakila responsible. Can you be responsible over him? Can you take care of such a person? Can you protect him? No, you cannot. Araaita, have you seen? This ayah does not mean that we should look around and find people who worship their desires. No, أَرَأَيْتَ means, have you ever thought about this? Have you seen this? Have you reflected on this? And remember that whenever in the Qur'an أَرَأَيْتَ is mentioned, it is for the purpose of expressing amazement. That amazing is the condition of this person. Amazing is the condition of this individual who has taken إِلَاهَهُ his God. Who is his God? هَوَاهُ his desire. So his إِلَاه is his hawa. What is ilah? Alaha, hamza lam ha. Alaha is to worship, to show dedication, to show humiliation before someone, to show humility before someone. And to make someone an ilah means to give someone or something utmost importance in one's life. It is basically to place something at the highest level, give it the first priority. So a person prefers his ilah over everything and everyone else. So compared to the ilah, everything becomes secondary. Everyone becomes unimportant. This is ilah. So what is the most important thing in this person's life? What is it? It is his own hawa. It is his own desire. So he is a slave to his desire. What does it mean by that? That he never says no to his desire. He never disobeys his desire. He never opposes his desire. Whatever his desire may be. So as a result, he is worshipping his desire. Now the question is, what is hawa? What is desire? Hawa, from the root letters hawa, ya, hawa, yahwi, literally means to fall. Fall. Now what happens? Sometimes our desires, they are such that we fall before them. It's as if we have no resolve, no determination, no strength, nothing whatsoever, so we fall. We become so weak that we cannot stand up against our desire. Like for example, the desire to sleep. Forget about sleep. The desire to eat something that we shouldn't be eating. Why? Because it's either not good for us or because we've already had too much to eat. But it just tastes so good. It's just so delicious. That what do? We fall before the desire. This is hawa. Alright? This is hawa. And also, remember that when a person pursues his desires, when a person fulfills one desire after the other, he does whatever he pleases, then does that cause him to fall? Does that cause him to fall? Yes. From his position, does he lose his dignity? Maybe in front of himself, maybe before other people, maybe in the sight of Allah. Pursuing the desire is something that makes a person fall down, even in the eyes of people. You know, it happens many times that a person, for example, if he's addicted to some kind of a drug, all right, and they promise themselves, I'm not going to have this, I'm not going to have this. But what happens? What happens? They take it again. And when they take it again, do they develop low self-esteem eventually? Yes. Then what happens? They even fall in the eyes of people. They just came out of jail, now they're back in jail again. Isn't it so? Now imagine when a person is repeatedly falling into sin because of his desire, he is falling from his qadr. He is losing his value. He is losing his manzila, his position, his status. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human beings as the best of creation. And when a person follows his desire, then what is he doing? He's falling, he's stepping down from the position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. So أَرَأَيْتَ, how strange is the situation of the one who worships his own desire. Allah says, أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Then would you be responsible for him? Who is wakil? Wakil is someone in whom you place your trust. It's from tawakkul. Right? Tawakkul is to rely on someone, and wakil is the one whom you rely upon. When you rely upon somebody, you expect them to take care of your affairs. You expect them to guide you, to protect you, to save you. So Allah says that can you be a wakil for a person who follows his desires, who worships his desires? Meaning, can you save him? Can you protect him? Can you help him? Can you stop him from following his desire? Can you make him accept the truth? Can you stop him from sin? Can you forcefully stop him from wrong, from committing injustice, from harming himself? No, you cannot. لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُسَيْطِرٍ. Because you are not someone who is to force people, and you cannot. Especially a person who worships his desire, nobody can save them. Isn't it these days on reality TV, such shows, what do you see? People who are addicted to drugs or people who are addicted to some other kind of such worshipping of the desire, what happens to them? Their family is begging before them. Right? They don't have an education, their health, their life is at risk. But what happens? They cannot control themselves. So who can help them? Can the police protect them? No, they cannot. The maximum they can do is put them in jail. And even when they put them in jail, eventually they put them in isolation. And even there, can you protect them from their own evil? No, you cannot. What happens to many people who are put in isolation, even in a prison? What do they do? What do? They harm themselves. They end up injuring themselves, cutting open their veins and causing themselves to bleed, hurting themselves. So can you protect a person who worships his desire? You cannot save him. This is why, remember, the nafs, it's one of the biggest enemies that we have. This is why the Prophet ﷺ taught us this dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from the evil of my own soul. Because the soul, the nafs, what does it do? Inna nafsa la'ammaratum bisu. It continuously, constantly, again and again orders one to do evil. Now, the best example that a person can find among living creatures of those who live for their desires are who? Animals. Right? They live for their desires. Why do I say that? Because they do whatever they please. Isn't it? They do whatever they want. They don't care about the environment. Like for example, when you see a beaver chewing down a tree, what does it care about a tree? Right? It doesn't care that so many trees are falling. No. That the landscape is changing? No, it doesn't care. What does it want? Just the tree for itself. Isn't it so? Recently I saw in a video how there was a mother moose and with it a baby moose. All right, and the two wandered off into a territory that a bison was basically in. All right, now the bison got angry that why is this moose in my territory? So it advanced towards the moose. Now the mother moose got frightened and it stepped back. But the baby moose didn't realize that it was a threat, a danger. So the baby moose is there. In fact, it's going towards the bison. All right, and the bison, you know, basically attacks the baby once, twice, thrice, and literally tramples over it. And eventually the mother moose has to distract the bison, and the bison goes away, and then the mother moose goes and sees the baby. And I was like, come on, such a huge creature, bison, what is the little baby moose going to do? How much is it going to eat? Right? How much is it going to eat? What is it going to do? It's harmless, isn't it? But look at this creature that it doesn't care about anything, anyone, just protecting his own territory. Living for what? His own desire. This is how animals are. What differentiates us from animals is the fact that we, human beings, we have the ability to regulate, to discipline our desires. Whether it is the desire of eating, of drinking, of clothing, sexual activity, whatever it may be. This is what differentiates us from animals. This is what gives us a status higher than the animals. This ability. But when we pursue our desires only, when we just obey our heart, when we do whatever we please, whatever and only what we please, then remember, this is a form of shirk. Because notice here, Allah says His God is His desire. He has made His desire into His God, meaning He is worshipping His desire. His desire is His idol. So whichever direction the desire takes him, he follows. And when a person lives his life like this, worshipping his desire, then in reality he is doing shirk. And the Prophet ﷺ said that under the sky of all the gods that are worshipped besides Allah, the worst in the sight of Allah is the desire that is obeyed. The worst false god in the sight of Allah is which one? Not a huge idol. Not an idol that has some features which are very erotic or something like that. No, not that idol. What is worse in the sight of Allah? Because when we see images of idols or pictures of idols, it's so disgusting. We look away, right? What is even more hateful near Allah? The desire that is obeyed. The desire that is worshipped. Meaning the desire that one pursues. And this desire could be of anything. It could be the desire to sleep excessively, to eat excessively, to engage in sexual activity excessively, you know, disregarding of whether it is halal or haram, crossing the limits. No, a person doesn't care about any limits. He just follows his desires. This is worshipping the desire. Now remember, in our religion, what do we see generally? That we are taught to control our desires. Isn't it? I mean, the entire month of Ramadan is about what? Controlling your desires. Not just that we control our desire to eat and drink, but also we are forced to control our sleep. Isn't it? We are forced to control our tongue also, because we keep, you know, telling ourselves that the purpose of fasting is not to be hungry and thirsty. The purpose of fasting is to develop taqwa. Right? And we want to benefit from this act of worship, so we have to control our tongue. Isn't it? In our deen, there's a lot of emphasis on controlling the desire. Staying within the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set. Why? Because when we look at our deen, we sometimes feel that it is too restrictive. Huh? Why does it feel restrictive? Because we're being told to control our desire. Why? Is there a need to control our desires? Why? Why is it necessary? Yes. Yes, many times pursuing our desires can lead us to harm. Right? Like for example, a person loves to, for instance, smoke. For example, they begin with one cigarette a day. Will that be one cigarette? Within a week it'll be how many? More. Within a few months it will be even more. Okay, they're following their desires. They're enjoying it, they like to smoke, but is it harming them? Is it harming their health? Is it going to harm their relationships? Yes. Is it going to harm them overall in their life? Definitely. This is just one example. Let's talk about a halal desire. For example, eating. Sweets. Goodies. Only goodies. And too many goodies. What will happen if a person eats goodies all the time? What will happen? Okay. It'll affect their health. It'll affect their weight. Isn't it? Overall, it will affect their well-being. Recently, my children, they were... Of course, as children, they love sweets. They love junk food. So we're trying to teach them that, look, you have to look into the food. How much sugar does it have and how much unhealthy stuff it has. All right? And alhamdulillah, we found this particular cartoon in which there was an entire episode about this, Bernstein Bears, okay? Old cartoon, but I think old cartoons are better than new ones, right? So, in that, the father bear, you know, he's enjoying his sweetie cola and God knows what all, and then they meet a doctor, and the doctor explains to them, Dr. Grizzly, that when you eat goodies, then they fill you up. And when you get filled up, you don't want to eat food that is nutritious for you, that your body really needs. Right? So, does that mean you have to eliminate goodies completely? You don't have to eliminate it, but you have to have it in limited quantities. This is what our deen teaches us. It's not that we're not allowed to have fun. It's not that we're not allowed to sleep. We're not allowed to get married. We're not allowed to dress up. No, we are allowed. But everything must be within moderation, within limits. Because you see, the nafs is really corrupt. What happens is that if you allow yourself to sleep 5 minutes extra, tell me, will you sleep 5 minutes? How much are you going to sleep? Half an hour? And that half an hour will turn into 1 hour? Isn't it? So Allah, out of His mercy, has told us where we have to stop. He has drawn the line for us. Because we ourselves, many times, are blinded by our desires, and we're not able to tell where we have to stop. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has drawn the line for us, and He has told us this is where you must stop. Khalas. You cannot indulge anymore beyond this point. This is lawful, and this is unlawful. Now what's the name of the surah? Furqan. Criterion. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us where we are allowed to enjoy, and where, beyond which point is it unlawful. He has drawn the line. He has caused the division. Farq. What is it?
I was thinking that I always thought that following your desires would be kind of a minor shirk. But the way you described it in the hadith, would that be a major shirk then?
I mean, it's a kind of shirk. I'm not aware of which exact category it goes into.
The reason being I'm asking is...
The thing is that major shirk, what it does is that it expels a person from the fold of Islam. Alright? Now you cannot say that if a person is worshipping his desire, he is not a Muslim anymore. We cannot say that. Alright? So, Allahu A'lam, but it seems that it would be in minor shirk. Because major shirk, remember, it expels a person from Islam.
Okay.
Alright? This does not expel a person from Islam.
Jazakallah.
But it's definitely something that we should think about. Now, also remember that Jannah, what is it surrounded by?
Hardships
and difficulties. Things that go against our desire. The Prophet ﷺ said, hellfire is surrounded by all kinds of desires and passions, while Jannah is surrounded by all kinds of disliked, undesirable things. Meaning, if you want to go to Jannah, you will have to do things that you do not like. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes them. Which means basically that you have to go against your desires, your wishes. You have to control your nafs over there. You cannot worship your desire. You have to tell your desire no. And you have to say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, labbaik. You understand? Then this is what? You are preferring Allah over your desire. And if a person says, no Allah, I cannot do this. And labbaik, ya nafs, I am obeying you. I am coming to you. I will follow you. Then this is a kind of shirk. Now, there are many times that we find ourselves in situations where we want to do something, but we see that it's against what Allah has commanded. Right? Or we don't want to do something, and we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to do it. Like for example, controlling our tongue. When we want to talk, when we're angry, we want to curse somebody, we want to show them our anger. One is that you unleash your tongue. You just say whatever you feel like. You understand? This is following the desire. But over there, following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means that you control your desire, you control your tongue, right? Like my friend used to say, zip, lock, and throw the key away. Right? Zip up your mouth, lock it up, and just get rid of the key. Don't say anything, just seal your mouth. Literally seal it. This is what you have to do. Otherwise, what will happen? You will say things that you will regret later on. Likewise, being true to your commitments and promises. I mean, we learned in Surah Al-Mu'minun about how the believers, they fulfill their commitments, they fulfill their promises. Is it easy? Is it easy to do that? No, it isn't. Like for example, it could be a day when we are expected to come to class. But we say, no. Today there's some fun fest, right? And I have to go have some fun. Even though it starts after 1 o'clock, but I have to go have fun. I better be rested before 1 o'clock so that when I go, I can actually enjoy myself. This is what? Following the nafs then. If you're skipping class for some fun, this is what? Following the nafs, isn't it? Because following the nafs, following the desire over here, is stopping you from remaining true to your commitment. Correct? Class is going on and you really want a cup of tea. Oh my God. You really, really want a cup of tea. So you're like, okay, it's just going to take 10 minutes. And by the way, I'll just go sit in the cafeteria and the speakers are on anyway. I can hear. But can you actually follow along and take notes? Can you? And if you don't take notes at that time, what are you going to do in group time? What are you going to do in the test? Aren't you missing out on something? We are, right? Wearing the hijab. That makes you feel hot. I mean, recently I'm feeling this more and more, that when you go out in hijab or abaya, because alhamdulillah these days it's quite hot, right? You feel extra hot. But I keep reminding myself, hellfire is more hot. Hellfire is more hot. Hellfire is more hot. You want to sometimes take it easy on yourself and say, what if, you know, you just follow the crowd, do what everybody does. But you can't do that. You can't do that. Why? Because one is something that people do, that people call towards, and the other is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded. And alhamdulillah, all of us have studied Surah An-Nur. Alhamdulillah. We know where we have to draw the line between adorning ourselves and displaying our adornment. Right? Now over there also, isn't this a big struggle? Isn't this a big struggle where you have to fight against yourself? And you're like, no, I can't go out in public like this. This is not appropriate.
Assalamu alaikum. I was just saying that I have noticed with the heat now that the comments coming from maybe non-believers or people on the streets are just becoming very, very harsh. Just on Friday I was going to work, so walking I have, you know, I'm dressed like I'm supposed to. And this woman is like, oh my God, like how could you do that? And she just looked at me. I'm crossing the street. I just pretended she's not there. Just pretend she's not there. But yeah, the comments are harder and harder to take, and it's hot, and when they yell at you, you're even more hot, but yeah, just keep on going, right? So, because you're angry and you become hot, and then it's like, oh my God, just let me get there. Yeah. Let me get to the office. So it's really, really hard from time to time.
Yeah. And why are you doing this? What are you fighting against first and foremost? It's your own desire. It'd be just easy if you could just dress up like everybody else. Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum. This weekend, my nephew is getting married, and I have family coming from all over the states. And that means every night, nobody goes to bed till 1 o'clock or whatever. And I'd even told Sadi I'm not coming this weekend. But I thought to myself, you know, in the evenings, subhanAllah, so let me just at least go get some reward during the morning time.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Right, so you have to push yourself, isn't it? And whenever you have to push yourself to take that extra step, whether it is pushing yourself to open up the Quran and read, recite, whether it is pushing yourself to give some sadaqah, pushing yourself to help somebody, pushing yourself to dress properly, whatever it may be. I mean, sometimes you have to push yourself to even lower your ponytail. I have to these days. Right? Because it's so much easier when your neck is, you know, it can breathe when you're outside. But when you have to lower it to make sure that you're not going against the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you have to push yourself. So anytime you find yourself opposing your desire, opposing your wishes, remind yourself, you are doing this to please who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that we please ourselves. But that pleasure will be how much? Temporary. Just for a few moments. And the other is that we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know what? Every ladha, every pleasure in this world brings only one ladha, only one pleasure. And that is when you are doing it. Khalas. When you're eating that ice cream, when you're sipping in that ice cap, delicious. But the moment you swallow it in, it's as if it was never there in your mouth. It's gone. There's only one ladha, one pleasure that comes with every worldly pleasure, except for the pleasure of ibadah. The pleasure of ibadah. You are pleased, you enjoy it when you're doing it, you enjoy it when you remember it. Just recently I was talking to somebody whom I was with in a particular course 5 days a week, and it was so difficult. And she said, you know, I miss those days. I'm like, I miss them too. She said, it was so difficult, but the pleasure wasn't that difficulty. Right? So worship is something that you enjoy even when you remember it. When you think about Ramadan, yes, it was difficult, but Ramadan, isn't it? And finally, when a person will, inshallah, get the reward for it, that is the third pleasure that will come. So when we please the nafs, there's only one pleasure associated with it. But when we please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's endless pleasure associated with that. Endless, endless pleasure. So worshipping the desire is a big mistake. Pursuing the desires is a big mistake. Where is it that we have to stop? We have to stop at the limits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set for us. The Prophet ﷺ said, I mostly fear for you two things. following desires and long hopes. Following your desires and having long, you know, hopes in life. Following desires hinders you from accepting the truth, and long hope is going to lead you towards loving this world to an extent that you will stop thinking of the hereafter and the obligations that are enjoined upon you. That you have such long plans that you are just striving towards them, working towards them. Akhirah is nowhere in the picture, nowhere in your mind. You're only concerned about your worldly goals. So looking at this ayah, we all need to question ourselves. That what are those situations in which I lose against myself? My desire overtakes me. What are those situations where I cannot control my nafs? My desires overcome me. I disregard the command of Allah. And so I prefer my desire over Allah's command. Whether that command is concerning hijab, concerning salah, concerning bir bil walidain, being good to the parents, whatever it may be, sadaqah, anything. Where is it that my desire overcomes me? So I fall. I find no strength in myself, no stability, no firmness in my feet. I just collapse before my desires and I follow my desires. And the person who's following his desire, Allah says, أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. Can you stop him? Can you protect him? No, you cannot. You know, like if a person has just made up their mind that they want to sleep, have you tried waking them up? Have you ever tried waking them up? What happens? 5 minutes. 10 minutes. Go away. Right? Leave me alone. I'll wake up myself. Correct? And it just gets, every response is angrier than the previous one. Can you save them? Can you protect them? This is just one example. And sometimes we are the ones who are sleeping, by the way. Many times. Isn't that so? So the person who is worshipping his desire, then only Allah can protect him. And that person can only be saved when he comes out of the clutches of his own desire. When he sets himself free from his own desire. أَمْ تَحْسَبُوا. Or do you think, أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ, that most of them, يَسْمَعُونَ, they listen, أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ, or they reason? People who worship their desires, do you think that many of them even hear or understand? They don't. Because many times it happens that a person hears something, learns about something, and it's evident, but then when they get up from that gathering, they continue what they were previously doing. Their actions don't change. So when actions don't change, what does it mean? That person didn't really hear. Or they heard, but they didn't understand. So Allah is asking, do you think that most of them hear or reason? إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ. They are not except like livestock. They're just like animals. Rather, whom they are, أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. They are even more astray in their way. Because when a shepherd signals to the sheep, to the flock, what happens? Do the animals respond? Do they? So quickly they respond that it's amazing. It's amazing how sometimes accidentally you could make a sound, not knowing that this is a sound by which these particular animals are called, and they come running. They come rushing toward you. I remember once I was horse riding and there was another child with me on another horse. I don't know if I told you the story before. But the horses were taught that both had to run together. And when there is noise, any sound that is made, the horses are meant to run faster. So I galloped away, and what do you think happened to the other horse? Started running alongside. What do you think happened to the child that was sitting on that horse? Started screaming. What do you think happened to the horse? Galloped even faster. Right? I mean, the horse was not being given deliberate instructions. But the horse heard those sounds, right? Saw that movement, and it responded. This is what animals do. So people that hear the clear commands, the clear words of the Quran, they don't just hear them, they understand them, yet their actions don't change, then what are they like? Animals are worse. Allah says they are worse. بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. And this is something very frightening. And this is something that we really need to take seriously. Because many times we follow our desires while we know that what Allah has commanded is the exact opposite. What Allah has instructed is the exact opposite. I mean, just take into account the verses about hijab that we learned recently in Surah An-Nur, right before Ramadan. Weren't they very obvious? Come on, weren't they obvious? They were. Then who are we deceiving? Who are we betraying? Who are we trying to play with? When we heard, we understood, and knowingly we don't change, then look at this ayah. إِنْهُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْهُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا. This is very frightening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, Surah Al-A'raf, ayah 179, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Many people who will end up in hell, who are they? They have hearts, but they do not understand with them. They have eyes, but they do not see with them. They have ears, but they do not listen with them. Such people are like livestock, rather they are worse. Such people are al-ghafilun, heedless. What is heedlessness? That a person sees the truth right before them, but they're like, oh, I didn't get it. Really? How is it possible that we don't realize it's daytime when it's daytime? That is heedlessness, that a person doesn't realize it's daytime when he sees that the sun has completely risen. Then a person is only fooling himself.
Recitation of these ayat.
أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا أَمْ تَحْسَبُ أَنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ يَسْمَعُونَ أَوْ يَعْقِلُونَ إِنْ هُمْ إِلَّا كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلُّ سَبِيلًا.